listening to Sunday Karma on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
Greg Scalzo, Alex Stroff, Kyle Wallace with you. No Correct Karma's today on Sunday Karma across ESPN Wisconsin. Of course, you all listening, calling, texting on the Karbless Talking text line, 800-990-3776. Again, 800-990-3776. Dick in downtown chimes in, says the only thing really saving the Packers draft is we traded Micah Parsons for a crappy pick. Seemed like good value and future potential in certain selections if we develop. People must feel really content with their jobs, given I'm not sure who in this class is ready to contribute in 2026. Not sure on ignoring some needs or positions on offense. I look forward to future leadership changes in the front office once Ed understands how complacent our front office is.
Wow.
That doesn't make sense to me where they literally address. Now, again, these are projections. We don't know how good Cissé is going to be this year or in the future. If you look at him, you probably don't think he's going to contribute right away this year. But we don't know. He could come in and surprise us all. McClellan, that's a cornerback position you had a need at. Defensive line, you needed some help on the interior defensive line because you have Devontae Wyatt.
There you go.
You have Hargrave, who's not going to be here too much longer. And now you have him and some other guys that you were just kind of putting in there. You don't know what you're going to get out of Carl Brooks for the long term. So you fill the void there. And then you're talking about, again, you needed an end to be able to rush because you know that you don't know where Lucas Van Ness is going to be. You don't know what you're going to get out of some of those guys like Baron Sorrell. And so, or Colin Oliver, you don't know what you're going to get. So you drafted another guy there. So I don't know what we're talking about where we didn't draft to fill needs. That's exactly what they did.
He said needs or positions on offense. So maybe Dick was looking for some more offensive line.
Maybe they were looking for
a running back at some point, a tight end. Yeah, I mean, look, they ended up with six picks. They traded up a couple times in order to attack some of the guys that they wanted.
Kicker. Traded up for a kicker.
Traded
up for a kicker.
It might be worth it. I mean,
it very well could be.
This is what I don't understand about some Packers fans, and I love my boy Stroff.
It just makes me giggle.
We're
now,
giggling over a kicker.
It is giggly.
I was literally ready to find Brandon McManus and fight his ass because of what he did to us. We lost the playoff game, not because our defense messed up, not because Jordan Love couldn't move the ball in the third quarter. It's because our kicker missed three field goals. We lost by 4 points, and he missed an extra point. If he doesn't miss the extra point, our quarterback drives us to get in the field goal range, and we have a chance to tie, and who would have known? He probably would have missed that kick, too. And so all I'm saying is, if we're laughing about this, but special teams is important. And so if we get a guy who may be good, and he may turn into the next Mason Crosby, then we're not laughing about trading up.
Relax.
I'm not relaxing. I'm thinking about
where Mason Crosby's the best kicker in franchise history.
Okay,
relax.
Fine. If he's not Mason Crosby, but
he can start for 10 years.
Yeah.
It is nice to solidify your kicker
for
position,
sure. Of course, know? I'm not disagreeing with that.
I mean, Ryan Longwell was really good before Mason Crosby.
Goody entering yesterday was 0-for-3 on drafting specialists.
Well, you could say, should he never draft in the first round because he never hits in the first round?
Hey, man, if we're trading for Micah Parsons and not having a first-round pick every year for the rest of his career, I'm fine with that.
I'm just saying, you could point to a lot of positions he hasn't had a lot of success with.
He's
got a success story at every position.
He drafted J.K. Scott, and J.K. Scott—
Running back?
That's a fair point.
Yeah. Not him.
AJ Dillon didn't work out too well, did it?
Not him at running back.
I mean, there's stories there. There's stories there that you could probably poke
running
a
back
hole
is
into.
Probably the best pull.
Yeah,
right, JK Scott.
Did he draft Kenny Clark or no? Is that
no?
A
that, was
Thompson?
That was Ted's final.
So has he ever drafted a good interior defensive lineman?
No. No.
Okay.
Devontae Wyatt.
Okay, sure.
Well, let's see it this year.
I agree.
I would hold off on that.
Sure.
Calling it a success story.
Okay. Fair enough.
Quite yet.
Yeah, and I don't like writing off J.K. Scott because he's still in the NFL.
Where is he?
He's in L.A. Chargers.
Oh. I didn't realize he was still in the league. Well, it doesn't matter. What matters is your contributions to Green Bay. He was a fail here.
Chef Ed,
that's like calling Eric Stokes a success.
Chef Ed chimes in on the Carbless Talking text line. Says, Kyle, I hate to tell you, but the reality is that this Packers team is not a Super Bowl team. They'll finish third in the division behind the Lions and Bears.
Oh,
you're cooking with Chef Ed.
Talking about negativity.
Yeah, Chef Ed.
Chef Ed from Boston?
You know, Chef Ed is cooking up food poisoning with that take. We're not finishing behind the Bears. I'm telling you, I don't know.
Schedule's a lot easier than the Bears. That helps.
It is, but my thing is this. Folks, Michael Parsons will be back. Tucker Kraft will be back. Zach Tom will be back. Devontae Wyatt will be back. This team was 9-3-1. and they added pieces to be more mature. Zaire Franklin is going to be a better contributor to this team than what you got out of Quay Walker because his level of maturity, and he can actually force turnovers, right? And so all I'm saying is when you get a guy like Javon Hargrave in the middle, you're improving the defense. This team is going to be better than what they were last year. Do I have concerns about the offensive line? Yes, but the offensive line is just basically what it was last year as well going into the regular season. A lot of unknowns, but outside of that, Tucker Kraft comes back. You get a full season of Christian, well, at least start the season with Christian Watson. You may have Jaden Reed, Christian Watson, and Tucker Kraft all together for the first time since 2024. Like that, like we, yeah. I don't know why we're so poo-pooing this team going to next year. They have a chance to be good, but guys have to take the next step.
I do think, and I don't think you should be poo-pooing it, but this Packers team, when you look at the strength of schedules that are out there now based on the 2025 win percentage, Bears have the toughest schedule in the NFL. Packers have the fourth. And part of that's the strength of the division, right? Like part of that is the fact that you have the Lions, the Bears, and the Packers in there. And I think people expect the Vikings to be better this year.
People forget they were 9-8 last year.
Yeah, they weren't
they were over
team.
500.
They finished higher than the Lions did in the division.
Yeah. So when you look at this Packers team, and especially early in the season, I think that it's going to be important to figure out what those first four or five games are, because Micah Parsons is not going to be back on this defense. As much as it's going to be nice to have those three back together, those three haven't played together. So like, it's going to take some adjustment time, right? Especially for a Tucker Kraft. First year off of an ACL, guys don't just return to who they were immediately.
Christian Watson did.
Well,
Christian Watson, he was better. He was better than ever. Strofe?
Christian Watson and Adrian Peterson. That's what they often say. Yes.
Great. But I'm saying it doesn't usually happen if you were to look at how things work. So when you're talking about DDS and LVN being your pass rushers for the first four weeks of the season on the opposite sides of the ball, and you're talking about Carrington Valentine.
I kind of feel bad for Lucas Van Ness. He's got a lot of strays from you today.
How do you feel bad for the man?
You're really taking in on him today.
He's a bank robber. He was drafted, what, 12th overall?
13th, yeah.
13th overall? Yeah. What's he done?
Nothing.
Now, he's not a bank robber.
I'm not saying you're
John
wrong.
John Wall is a bank robber.
No. LVN's a bank robber.
Well, I'm talking about a real bank robber.
LVN
John Wall signed the contract.
I looked the part. You know, he's like one of those look the part guys. It's like you go to play a pickup basketball game. There's one guy that looks the part. You go, all right, I'm picking you first. And then you get on the court and you can't make a shot. That's all
the end. The Green Bay Packers.
Like, he looks the part.
Time out. We need to break that bad analogy for a moment. How often are you playing pickup basketball,
at this point in my
Mr. 5'5"?
At this point in my life, not that often. But I'd still take you one-on-one, but that's a whole different story.
Oh, no, you wouldn't. I'd back
any
you down.
Any athletic competition.
SWAT.
Look at his hand motion. SWAT. Yeah, SWAT. It's just SWAT.
SWAT.
That's how SWATs look.
Yeah, exactly. You are not in a position to criticize anybody about anything athletic.
Let me see you SWAT again.
That's problematic for my career, I would argue.
This idea, though, that LVN and him, and then you have Carrington Valentine and Keyshawn Nixon at the cornerback spot. Like, there's a lot of holes on this team that can get exposed early on. An offensive line that was amongst the worst in the NFL last year, where you're bringing back everybody, except now you're putting Jordan Morgan at left tackle, who couldn't beat out Rashid Walker last year. So, like, this team isn't a team where I think you should be so confident to say, no, they're a Super Bowl contender. But it is a team that has a good quarterback, that has a good coach, that has potential. I just wouldn't go into it being either overly confident or overly negative. This is a team that has a very wide range of how they could perform, whether it's going to be a 9-8 third in the division or whether it's going to be, you know, a team that could potentially win 12 or 13 games because Jordan Love finally pops.
Yeah, I see him finally popping. That's just me. When I say finally popping, it's like, again, he's going to have a lot of weapons on this offensive side of the football. And something Gabe Neitzel, when he joined us this week, he was talking about is guys are actually going to have roles. And I like that theory, right? Like Jaden Reed, he gets signed. You know he's going to be your slot guy. You know Matthew Golden's going to be on the outside. You know Christian Watson's going to be on the outside. You know what Tucker Kraft is going to do. He's going to be eating on the inside from that tight end position or lining up in the slot. So I just feel really good about where we're at. And then Josh Jacobs, he was hurt all last year. Like, you know, you get a healthy Josh Jacobs after a rough season. I feel like this offense can be very dynamic.
You also have to acknowledge, though, that when your team lacks depth, That's a team building issue because every team is going to undergo injury.
Yeah, and that is still is a concern with the depth. Again, the offensive line is very concerning. The running back position, I'm just going to hope Marshawn Lloyd is going to be healthy. I mean, you can't go 0-3, can't you? Can't go three straight seasons not being healthy. That'd be tragic.
I mean, once again, we're asking Matt LaFleur to work magic with this team, which he has done.
No,
yes,
it's
Brian
not that
Gutekunst
bad.
Has consistently put Matt LaFleur in a position where he needs to work magic with the roster that he is given because Goody continuously misses.
Well,
Draft after draft.
I mean, magic on the – I'm thinking the offensive side of football. The offensive line is the biggest issue I have. But, I mean, he has a first-round pick at wide receiver. He has a second-round pick in Christian Watson at wide receiver. He has a second-round pick in Jaden Reed at wide receiver. He has a third-round pick in the tight end as Tucker Kraft. And a third-round pick in Savion Williams, who I'm
not high
on.
You're saying first-round pick and second-round pick because you don't want to say the names.
No, I can say the names. But
if Matthew Golden was that good, then Matt LaFleur would have had him starting last year.
I mean, the names ain't Justin Jefferson and Jordan Addison.
There's
a lot of first-round
picks
and Jamison Williams.
You know, a lot of second-round picks that work out.
I get it. I'm just saying I don't think he has to make magic. I think these guys are talented. Maybe my green and gold glasses are on, and I don't realize that every other team in the division, and the Bears, I think DJ Moore went 4,000 last year, or barely eclipsed it.
If Matthew Golden was who we expected him to be and was like another first-round wide receiver, it wouldn't have been the Romeo Doubs show throughout the season, right? When you're missing Christian Watson, when you're missing Jaden Reed, it would have been the Matthew Golden show.
DJ Moore had 682.
Okay, so maybe they didn't have. Okay, so maybe
Adunze,
it was a
better year.
It was 2 years
Adunze
ago.
Had 661,
but he was hurt. So two years ago, he must have won. DJ must have won 4,000 2 years ago, not last year. I was unsure, but so you're talking about other one team
966 2 years ago.
Oh, okay.
So just under.
Well, the dang Lions had two dudes go for 1,000 this year, I believe, and they didn't make the playoffs. So I guess maybe I'll just get my green and gold glasses on.
800-990-ESPN, 800-990-3776. We'll keep talking to you. It is Sunday Karma across ESPN Wisconsin.
You're listening to Sunday Karma on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app. You're listening to Sunday Karma on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
Happy Sunday! That one for Christopher Stocks on the Carbless Talk and Text line. It is Sunday Karma across ESPN Wisconsin. Greg Scalzo, Alex Droff, Kyle Wallace. You all calling, texting 800-990-3776. Nathan Sass chimes in. Says, LVN had nothing to do with where he was picked, and I trust Parsons' opinion of him a billion times more than an idiot with a microphone.
Yeah! Take that, Greg!
Here we go. Because Parsons is going to be so negative
very
on his team.
Very objective, yes.
Yeah.
I mean, he was pretty negative about Rashawn Gary.
Not during the season.
That's true.
Yeah, and then you'll be laughing about the same thing. We're talking about, this big dude I played with couldn't do nothing. But I will say,
he's got hustle.
I think Lucas Van Ness.
He's got heart. Heart and hustle.
I think you're just saying that because he's white.
I think
you're saying that because he's white. He's a hard worker. He's scrappy. He's got hustle.
Lunch pail to work type guy.
Not him.
I stay out of those conversations. I don't want to be accused of anything.
Oh, you're right. You've never brought up a race on the radio.
Not on this one. Well, this one, yeah. But not when it comes to white people talking about white on white hate, I stay out of it on this station.
On this station.
I stay out of that. Ain't none of my.
That's not hate. You know it, Kyle. You know the adjectives are used differently depending on
what are your favorite.
The race.
We talked about this yesterday on our draft coverage. What's your favorite draft buzzword? Like explosiveness, rangy.
You know what? I watch the draft
kid.
A lot less than I used to now because
they've
really
jumped the shark
a
little bit. Huh?
You also just don't need to watch it as much. You could just keep following it, and you're going to catch the same things. You know,
that's true.
Follow the teams that you want to follow, but of course, listen to our draft coverage here across ESPN Wisconsin. But when we're talking about Lucas Van Ness, we're talking about a guy that has been. He was drafted 13 overall, right? And he has played in a combined 43 games across three seasons with the Green Bay Packers. His job is to rush the quarterback. That's what he was drafted to do.
Was he or was he his job to be a good, all-around defender, right? Get 4.5 sacks. I thought he was going to play, multiple positions when he got drafted.
He doesn't. He's put in as a situational pass rusher, largely, to pin his ears back and get after the quarterback. That's how he's been used.
He's been used in a lot of different places and spaces.
Okay. He's got 8.5 sacks across 43 games, across three seasons.
Yeah, he played with a club. I'm not defending him. I'm just saying.
He was buried a little bit with Rashawn Gary.
Yeah. I think
he's played in 43 games.
But he was more rotational.
He's a 4.5 to 6 sack guy. That's
how many games
has
he started? Do you have that in front of you?
He started two games.
Okay.
That's my point. Like,
yeah,
So we're talking about the 13th overall pick being a rotational guy that you expect 4 sacks.
It's a big year for him.
That is the guy that you sign in July. Right?
Yeah,
off of the scrap heap, and you pay him $2.5 million and you stick him in there to rush the passer 30% of the time,
Greg,
and they get 4 sacks.
I'm with Stroh. Relax.
Relax about what?
It's a big year for him.
It's
a prove-it year. It's a contract.
No.
Yes, it is a big year for him. He's on the final year of his deal. He's not getting the fifth-year option. He's going to have the opportunity to start. If he sucks, it's his last year in Green Bay.
He played 27 games in college for Iowa. Never started a single game.
That's an Iowa thing.
And had 13.5 career sacks.
Yeah, I'm telling you.
We're talking about this is who this guy is.
I agree. And that's why. What did you just say? This is who this guy is. See, some of y'all like to act like, since he's a first round pick, he's got to be this guy. Listen,
I'm responding to Nathan, who said, I trust Parsons' opinion of him.
I know, but Nathan is
that's
in
an
the.
Idiot.
He believes, and again, Parsons is going to hype up his teammate, but I'm just taking him for who he is. It's not, as somebody said, it's not his fault he was drafted in the first round. That's Goody's fault. He's not that great. He's just a dude. Like, I just need him to be a rotational contributor. Maybe force a fumble or two. Get, like I said, four or five
that's your
sack.
Top pass rusher
no,
to start
he's
the
not,
season.
No.
DDS?
It's him. It's him. He's right.
I don't know who our top is. It's going to be Colin Oliver or Baron Sorrell. I don't think he'll be at Lucas Van Ness is top pass rusher.
That's
Lucas
all
Van
Ness. I needed. That's all I needed. We're on the same page.
Yeah.
You.
He's not going to live up to being the first round pick that he was. He's a rotational guy. And so I just need him to be a rotational guy. I hope for him to be as good as Kingsley and Igbari. That's all I hope. If he can contribute the way Kingsley did, then I'll be happy.
That's DDS. DDS is pro comparison. Kingsley and Igbari.
And DDS is going to be better than Kingsley and Igbari.
I think you're right.
John in Milwaukee has a question for us. 800-990-ESPN, 800-990-3776. The Carbos Talk and Text Line. Relis is more. Well, the fact that for the first time since 1978, no players from the University of Wisconsin were selected in the NFL draft have an effect on incoming commits and the transfer portal for the Packers.
There's only one thing that will have an impact on incoming commits, and it is that dollar sign.
No, this will have an impact for sure.
No, it won't.
Of course it will.
Bro, because
eventually dollars become even.
Eventually, but we're not there yet.
Can we just talk about for a second that this is probably the biggest embarrassment that we have seen? You had a 47. You know how bad people talk about the Don Morton years? Remember that? Remember they were talking
about the Don Morton years.
Oh, it was so bad. It was terrible. Bro, Don Morton, based off stats and statistics, guess what? He got guys drafted.
Yeah, they did go 1-10, though, in his final season.
But somebody got drafted off that 1-10 team. Not from the Badgers team. That is how bad he has done at getting talent, is that you got guys who are literally from MAC schools getting drafted. No, wait a minute. You got guys from MAC schools that are getting drafted high. He didn't have not one player on the roster. This man hasn't recruited anybody that can get drafted.
You got guys from the international portal getting drafted.
You guys don't count
D3.
Nowkowski, Skylar Bell.
He let all these guys go. Skylar Bell went off and became one of the best receivers in college football. Riley Nowakowski, did he get drafted yesterday or no?
He did, yeah.
Riley Nowakowski was a walk-on at the old traditional Wisconsin under the old guard that they had.
Did Jim Radike finish his career at the University of Wisconsin?
Sure
no, he did
didn't. All this talent that he had, they let walk out the door, and then
it just tells you what the state of Wisconsin football is. It's the first time since 81 through 83 that they've gone three years in a row without a guy drafted in the first 2 days.
Stroke, can I just...
But that's what we're saying. Like, that's going to impact the people who are going to come to Wisconsin.
It's all about money.
But
eventually, if you are going to pay somebody $200,000 and there's three other schools that are going to pay them $200,000, are they going to pick the one that's not creating pros?
No.
That's like... Of course not. That's where Greg Gard is going to be able to win some of these transfers, where all other things are somewhat equal, because someone's going to go 220 and they're going to go 200. Well, if Wisconsin's giving player X 220. Player X is going to go back to Iowa and say, hey, they're giving me 220. If you give me 220, I'll go to Iowa.
Yeah, and because at Iowa, not only am I going to get developed, but also my team's going to win games. We're going to have more, you know, more eyes on us. And I just overall think that this Wisconsin program, where it is at, is absolutely pathetic.
Agreed.
That you can't get anyone drafted. And to have a guy like Skylar Bell walk out your door because you didn't. Skylar Bell is still a Wisconsin Badger, if you actually believed in Skylar Bell. Skylar Bell didn't leave because, oh, I'm about to leave and go to greener pastures. Not going to UConn, you not.
Well, Chris McIntosh ruined the football program. It's as simple as that.
Well, no, let's not put it all on Chris McIntosh. You know who Chris McIntosh
hired Luke Fickell? Hired Luke.
Yeah, I agree. But, like, Luke Fickell, you still has who to didn't hold have accountability.
Enough money. Who didn't raise enough money and then scurried away to a comfy job at the Big Ten?
Yeah, Luke Fickell.
Look, you can put some of the blame on Mac. I'm not alleviating him for
his
any
job
blame,
was to fundraise. But they didn't fundraise enough. That was the admission they made at the end of last season.
Do you want to know who also should be out there fundraising? Who should also be out there?
Oh, he deserves blame too.
Keeping the players. That's my point. Like you have, there's plenty of blame to be spread around the entire athletic department.
More of it lands on Mac.
So can I ask you a question?
Yes.
I ask you a question?
Go ahead.
So who do you think has more NIL money? Do you think Minnesota or Wisconsin for the football program has more?
I would guess Wisconsin now.
Okay, but no.
I don't know if that was the case last season.
Do you think it was a significant gap between Minnesota?
Probably not.
Okay, what about Iowa and Wisconsin? I have no idea. You think Iowa had a significant?
Yeah, I do.
Because I don't know. But if Iowa, if Michigan.
They said they were in the bottom third of the Big Ten. Iowa was.
Just real quick, because I've heard a lot of stories, right, with relationships for plenty of people within that program, former players. Folks who are still very familiar. If you were to hear some of the stories about players who left, why they left when they didn't want to leave, a lot of it didn't have to do with just the money.
Really?
Yes, because there's a lot of the money that exists there.
I can tell you it didn't have to do with the money.
Yeah. There is a lot of it that has to do with more than just the money. There's a lot of it that has to do from why people aren't donating with not only how the athletic department operates, but with the fact that the head coach has waited how many years before now maybe we'll start to see him try to develop any sort of relationships with the community, with the state, with his alumni base. Like, there is a lot of things out there that's more than just the money.
So as an alumni.
Because if you do things the right way as a coach, as a program, as an athletic department, then the money will come. So, like, there's plenty of criticism to be spread around. It is not on any singular person. You're always going to go to the top. You're always going to go to the leader. And I think Mac is the type of guy that has the integrity to accept that.
Sure.
But my point is that the fact that Mac is gone is not like now all of a sudden it's a new era. It is the same era with a different person at the top.
Now, again, this is just off me doing some research and using data and AI, them gathering stuff. Based on 2024 and 2025 NIL data reports, the schools in the bottom third of the Big Ten in football NIL back in 2024 to 2025 was Rutgers, Minnesota, Northwestern, Purdue, and Indiana.
Indiana?
That's 2024 to 2025. That's not 2025 to 2026. That's 2024 to 2025. So entering that season. Remember, Indiana in their first season, because this is only second.
They were in the playoff that year.
They brought all the James Madison kids.
Yeah, and James, them kids from James Madison ain't asking for $1 million.
That's fair.
So what I'm saying is that we can sit here and say we're in the bottom third, where these other teams like Minnesota. Well, hell, I just want to be Minnesota. Isn't that terrible?
That's pathetic.
Well.
Oh, I agree. I'm with you.
So Greg, everything ain't always about money. You got to be able to develop.
Greg, you're
guys
a proud Badger. You're an alumnus. Give me one word to describe your feeling toward the Luke Fickell era.
I mean, disappointed. Like you're just disappointed.
I figured
I'm
you'd go stronger than that.
No, I'm rooting for him. I want Luke Fickell to succeed. I want athletic department to succeed. I want the Badgers to succeed. And I do think that they're starting to move in the right direction. But yeah, you're disappointed. I thought it was a great hire. I was excited about where they were headed. And ultimately you're disappointed in the results, in the complacency, in the lack of creativity. And you hope that it was the wake up that this program and this university needs. But as we've talked about and has been talked about on this, across ESPN Wisconsin, when you don't have a chancellor, when you don't have a UW president system and you don't have an athletic director,
not great.
You could say not great. But you're actually in a position to make real change and to build something with a true level of alignment that could be transformational for the University of Wisconsin system, for the University of Wisconsin-Madison, and for the University of Wisconsin Athletic Department.
That's so true.
And there's a lot of people that could be focused on the problems of the past. We need the people who are focused on the solutions of the future to help figure this thing out, because it's very rare you have this level of a clean slate to be able to build something in the right manner, and all you hope is the right people are working on it and they're not scared of change.
I'm leaving
no stone unturned. I love working for and with you, Greg.
Yeah.
Would you be interested in one of those jobs?
I'm not qualified for those jobs.
Stop doing that.
I'm not qualified.
Why? Your circle is so damn small. You got people who literally have doctorate degrees. You have people who have been working in this field. We have people been working at, like, oh, let's get Mark Tauscher. Let's get Greg.
I put Greg's IQ against any of those guys.
No, this is what you say. You say,
because they have a doctorate degree. When you hear Greg is very smart.
He's trying to suck up now after talking smack, calling me 5'5". You see that, Kyle?
I forgot I said that.
You might be short, but you are wise.
I think Greg should maybe be on like an alumni search committee that has some type of input, but
I would
shouldn't
do
be
anything
a guy
that they ever would ask me to do because, to help that.
That's on the record.
He's absolutely right, because if I am the new president for the UW system, if I am the new chancellor of the university, I'm the new athletic director, right? I know that football is a priority simply because the state of Wisconsin gave the UW-Madison $14 to $15 million that is mostly going to go towards football. So message should be received that this is an important investment, not only for the university, for the state of Wisconsin also.
That is true. Especially somebody who came here, right? I came here. I didn't live here. I didn't grow up here. I came here to go to the university, and I've been here for 18 years after that. So coming up, oh my God, almost 19 years after that. We'll keep it rolling here. Sunday Karma across ESPN Wisconsin.
This is Sunday Karma on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
Karma across ESPN Wisconsin. Greg Scalzo, Alex Strofe, Kyle Wallace with you live from the Gruber Law Offices. One Call, That's All, ESPN Milwaukee studio here at the Avenue at the 3rd Street Market Hall. We all knew Gruber Law Offices, One Call, That's All. They've been part of this community, supporting it, embedding themselves in it, and helping the state of Wisconsin for over 40 years. You know David Gruber. You know his family. You see him at all the games. You see him supporting all the important things here in Milwaukee, because they are Milwaukee. They are Wisconsin. I shouldn't just limit it to Milwaukee. You see him at Badgers games. You see him all across the state. And when something happens where you need help, you get into an accident, right? And you need to call somebody. The reason why they say one call, that's all, is because that's who you need to call. Number 414-276-6666, 414-276-6666. Go to gruber-law.com to find Gruber Law Offices. They only win when you win. That's how they operate, right? You get into an accident, you get hit by a truck on 94, something happens, they're known, they're trusted, they're here with you, and they've been here for over 40 years. That's who you need to trust, because they're going to help you win. And that is how they win. Like I said, Kyle Wallace, Greg Scalzo, Alex Strofe, and of course you texting in on the Carbless Talking text line, where Liz is more. Stacy hits us, says, morning. This season will be a failure for the Packers.
No, stop.
I can't wait until the NFL schedule comes out. I'm predicting the Packers to underachieve and probably pick up where they left off last year. There's a lot of like sad emoji faces in here, so she's not happy about this. Meaning they'll be under 500 most of all the season, if not all, missing the playoffs also. Bringing back LaFleur was one of the top three worst decisions in Green Bay history, and it'll show immediately. Oh, trust me, save this text in your archives, marked, I don't know what that word is, so that you can revisit it as it literally happens before your eyes. I don't know if Stacy's a tarot card reader, palm reader. Fortune teller.
Pessimist, I would say.
Negative, Nancy.
I'm always amazed when people are going to blame LaFleur for a lack of success for this Packers.
Last year was not the brightest year for him.
I think LaFleur wins in spite of the roster, not because of it.
Oh, stop.
What do you mean, oh, stop?
Who is he masterfully elevated in the last year?
The only guy that matters that he masterfully elevated is the quarterback, which is the only reason this team has been relevant the last 4 years.
The quarterback's good.
Yeah, the quarterback's good because Matt LaFleur made him good.
I think he developed him into a good quarterback, but we're past the point where he needs Matt LaFleur to elevate him. I think Jordan Love elevates the offense.
Sure, yeah. But because of Matt LaFleur. My
sure.
point is
you
can
give him the
say,
development credit.
You can't say
sure.
the one position that matters the most in football, he was able to elevate. So who else
he was able
has
to
he
develop
elevate?
Him? I think Jordan Love has elevated the offense, especially last year. around him. I do not think Matt LaFleur had a good season. I think he's a good coach. I think he's a good offensive mind.
So they've had the worst offensive line in football last year, amongst the worst offensive line when you look at the statistics.
Probably bottom five, bottom six.
And he had, as you guys have talked about, his top two weapons were injured for the offense.
Top three.
And he still got them into the playoffs with you guys, the two of you, talking about how this team was a Super Bowl contender the weeks leading into the playoffs. I was on KBN, and you guys were talking about how great this team is, how great Jordan Love is.
Prior to Michael Parsons' injury,
and he had amongst the worst offensive line in football.
Yep.
He had his top weapons injured. Jaden Reed missed time. Christian Watson missed time. Tucker Kraft was injured.
Well, they made bad decisions on the offensive line, though. That was his fault. Elton Jenkins should have never played center. They should have never signed Aaron Banks. That's on Goody. Was Rasheed Walker actually the better option at left tackle?
So now you're shuffling the chairs on the Titanic.
Well, he really is.
I mean, like, now you're contradicting everything you once said.
What do you mean? What am I contradicting?
Because everybody stinks when they're gone now.
Yeah, ain't that the truth?
Elton Jenkins should have been a starter, just not at center.
I mean, this is, okay. My point is that, so you think this talent is great and LaFleur holds them back?
That's not what I'm saying.
Okay, then what do you say?
I'm saying
I made a very clear point. I think that LaFleur shouldn't be getting
I thought he had a really rough season. I thought he had a really rough season. He couldn't close games. The Dallas Cowboys game should have never resulted in a tie.
Situational. I agree. I thought it was a bad year for him. I think he's a good coach. I think the expectation of this team being that they're a consistent playoff team with the roster they have is because of Matt LaFleur. You're saying, no, the roster's great. LaFleur is just consistent with it. Like, what is your thought here?
My thought is that they've underachieved the last two seasons.
Because of Matt LaFleur.
They should be winning the division. Like, that should be
with a different head coach.
The expectation.
A different head coach, they would do that.
I didn't say that. I didn't want to move on from Matt LaFleur because I think it's hard to believe that the grass is always greener. Right? Like, I think Pittsburgh is going to regret moving on from Mike Tomlin and hiring Mike McCarthy. I think Matt LaFleur is a good coach. I thought last year was a bad year. If they don't win the division this year,
the last 2 years were underachieving years.
Yes, correct.
So you think the last 2 years were bad by Matt LaFleur? And that the talent was so great the last 2 years that this team should have won
the division. Yes. Yeah, correct.
Yes.
Yep.
Even though their defense last year was horrid.
It was not horrid.
It was horrid.
Micah Parsons had a great season. He was first team All Pro.
Yes, they had one guy.
Xavier McKinney was a second team All Pro.
Okay.
Evan Williams had a really good year. Javon Bullard had a really good year. Edrin Cooper did not take the step forward you would have anticipated. DeVonte Wyatt had a good year prior to breaking
his leg. Their quarterbacks were amongst the worst in the NFL. Their interior defensive line was not very good.
And that didn't get exposed, but the cornerback position didn't get exposed. I agree with you. They were bad. But that did not get exposed until Micah Parsons went down. Because when you have pressure on the quarterback, your cornerbacks naturally look better.
So a roster that's revolved around 1 to 3 guys is the right roster in the NFL. After everything we've seen the last how many years of championship football?
Not what I said.
Okay.
But I think why the draft is so important and why we've talked about it so much is because if you look at Seattle and you look at New England, how many rookies were starting on those teams?
Yes, but you think that, exactly. That's my point, is the roster that
you
has
need
been
to nail
built
the
by,
draft.
Built, that has been built by Goody has not been good enough, and LaFleur has elevated it.
I think two things can be true.
Your point is that this team is underachieved because of LaFleur the last 2 years, but you still want LaFleur as your head coach because you think he's good.
You can view that as bad logic.
800-990-3776. We'll continue down the Carbless Talk and Text line, try to make sense of Alex Stroh's self-admittedly illogical assertions next on Sunday Karma.
Thanks, Greg.
This is Sunday Karma on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app. It's that time.
Yes, it's finally here.
Craig makes his picks of the week.
You can bet the house on it.
Picks of the week on Sunday Karma with Craig Karmazin. Presented by Palermo's Pizza, Wisconsin's hometown pizza.
Can't wait to see what happens next.
On ESPN Wisconsin and WisconsinOnDemand.com.
Craig is scary when he's angry. No, Craig Karmazin today.
No intensity. That's the problem. You don't know what intensity looks like. You ain't ever been coached.
He really doesn't. I don't think he ever has.
Like, he ain't never had
somebody.
Did
you play sports growing up?
Yeah.
You did?
No, he didn't play. He was on the team.
I played.
There's
so rude.
There's a difference.
I started in basketball.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. You were in eighth grade starting for the fifth grade team because you were tall and
lanky.
Whoa! Alex Strofe, Kyle Wallace, Greg Scalzo, Palermo's Picks here on Sunday, Karma Cross, ESPN Wisconsin. We love Palermo's. Turn your kitchen into your own neighborhood pizza because Metcalf's has a deal you don't want to miss. From April 23rd through April 29th, grab Connie's Thin Crust Pizza for just $5.99. Bring home that classic Chicago pizzeria taste, the crispy thin crust, bubbly cheese, and bold savory flavor without stretching your budget. Perfect time to stock the freezer. Gather the family. Make any night feel like it's a night out, all for just $5.99 a pie. Again, it ends in 3 days here on the 29th of April, only at Metcalf's. Why spend the evening cooking? Let Connie's handle the oven. Again, check it out at Metcalf's. Palermo's Picks today. Brewers drop 4-0, 5-6. They got the Pirates. Kyle Harrison on the mound for the Brewers. They are the favorite today, minus 131. I think the Brewers break it here. Strofe's not going to the game. That's a good omen.
That is good.
I am 0-3 on the air. Yeah.
So I'm going to take the Brewers to the bats are going to get hot today. They're going to win this one from the Pirates. We also have Ron of the Key wants her Palermo's Picks to be. Is Strofe working out today after the show?
That's up to Mr. Tires over there. Kyle, you working out?
I gotta figure out what's happening with AAA.
Why does it depend on Kyle?
Because I bench on Sundays, and I'm not benching without a spotter. We know how that would go.
I thought that as soon as I walked in and the whole office didn't reek of cologne, that this is a workout day for Strofe.
I've cut back on my cologne usage. I realized I was overdoing it with my new bottle.
You definitely were.
Why did nobody have the guts to tell me that?
I told you.
Besides you. What's with you and being the only person around here that's
Strofe,
honest with me?
Strofe, didn't we tell you
You told
air?
Me about my bad haircut. You tell me about my cologne usage. Like, I appreciate the heck out of you. I
hope
you know
that Strofe.
No, but seriously, you're the only person around here that's honest with me.
I could have sworn we talked about it on air.
Honesty is kindness.
Honesty is kindness, and that's why I appreciate you so much. You're the only one that's honest with me.
Well, I
and
see.
It's really telling about the people that I work with on a daily basis. It really is.
Strofe,
I'm talking about you there,
Strofe,
back there.
I literally,
Dishonest.
I literally told you that you reeked of that cologne that day. I literally told you that. But also, I see with that butt kissing. I ain't mad at you. You got a wedding to pay for, so do all that.
I'm
butt
not
kissing,
butt kissing. He's the only one that's. I'm being dead serious.
All right.
You can find somebody to help you bench.
You want to come? You want to work out?
Oh, we gotta
not
get
today.
Out of here.
Kyle,
not today.
Send us out.
Peace.
This is ESPN Wisconsin and ESPNWisconsin.com.